Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. In the early church, and even in those Old Testament temple and tabernacle services, whenever the people of God got together, there was always a testimony. There was always a witness from someone about God's goodness and God's glory. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For He is good. Can anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For He is good. For His mercy endures forever. How many of you have experienced the mercy of God? Hallelujah. For His mercy endures forever. Now listen to what the psalmist says. Listen to what the Word of God says. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Yesterday, there was over 100 folks that went out into the community on 13 different teams and touched people's lives for the sake of the gospel and for the glory of God. And I know that I know that I know God was at work yesterday. Now it was hot, and it was a it was a tough day for a lot of us, but it was a good day. Because I think that the people of Montgomery County and Clarksville yesterday got to experience in a small but tangible way that Jesus loves us. This I know, for the Bible tells us so. And so I wanted to give you all an opportunity. And Thomas, Greg, y'all, if y'all will be handy with that microphone. If you would be willing to just stand up and give God praise for something that you felt like He did in your life yesterday, or that you heard someone else say, or how God moved yesterday in your life or in the life of someone else. Maybe in your team. Maybe God did something unexpected. And I wanted to hear from our people. I wanted to give you all an opportunity to share with what God. So who'll be first? Here's one right here.
I'm Pat. We were the Loaves and Fishes team, and I was really touched by the commitment of Isaac, who works with that organization. And he shared with me yesterday, or with our team, if our team had not come to help yesterday, it would have been just him and one lady handing out over 10,000 pounds of food. And we distributed that food to 17 different organizations throughout this area that, again, further distributes it. But it really impacted me to know that there is so much generosity, because all the food that they distribute is donated to them. And he shared stories about other businesses that also donate like 100 turkeys and all kinds of other things. It was hot. I think we all sweated 10 pounds of sweat yesterday. But our team had a positive attitude. Every muscle in my body hurts today from lifting boxes. But it was such a blessing. God had us where He needed us yesterday to help that mission.
Who is next? Who wants to share? All right, Scott.
Well, my yesterday, it started with tonight. I'm just excited, sorry. My youngest granddaughter, Kimball, accepted Christ as her Savior. And yesterday was at the farmer's market. Met a lot of great people, friends in Christ. Gave out 3 Bibles. Gave out lots of water. Thomas, myself, and my grandson decided to go to Liberty Park. We went by the exercise equipment. Wasn't anything happening. Found a shady spot on the trail. Thought we'd give out water. Nobody wanted any water. We drove around. There's roughly, 60, 80 young people playing soccer. They looked like they needed water. So we stopped and was going to just run out with a couple of waters, but there's 60 or 70 of them. So we carried a cooler. We went out there, we stopped, didn't want to invade their territory. They seen us, they came over there. I don't think we could find another spot in Clarksville that had more nationalities of people playing. We got God Bless You and Thank You in every kind of accent. They wasn't from Southside, they wasn't from Sango. They were all God's people. And they just thank you, God bless you, God bless you. Hugged us. Real sweaty people, but their hugs were good. So we went around to the other side. There's two other teams playing there. We thought it was all separate. They're all together. We get done handing out all of our water, and this gentleman comes up, got tattoos on his clean cut, real nice young man, and says, "Who are y'all?" And he looked at our shirts and said, "Y'all Second Mile." He said, "I'm Life Point. We do this every Saturday, and I've been telling these people how much God loves them, and y'all have showed up and showed them." And he grabbed us and prayed for us, and it was a blessing to us. I don't know what kind of blessing we gave them, but we received a blessing yesterday.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Others, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. All right, April.
Hi, everybody. I'm April McWhorter. If I don't stand up, I have a feeling I'll pay for it later. We went to a nursing home yesterday and found that we were mostly unexpected. And everyone there already had their nails polished, and that's kind of what we went there to do. What we found out, I found out, was that the fact that we were just there and available. We didn't have crowds of people, but the few women that came in and out, and a couple of the women actually stayed with us for 2 hours while we were there, visiting and reminiscing and sharing. One of the beautiful things that I got to see was how each of the four women who went, four of us together, each of us had our own something to offer. Kind of like Jesus' apostles. Everybody had their own roles and personalities. At one time, Nancy was, you could see the light come through the roof. All of a sudden, she was inspired to say a prayer. And she said, "Can I pray for you?" And the lady that I had been talking to, who had a speech problem, she was like, "You don't need to pray for me. You could understand that." And she was blessed with a inspiration to say that I'll pray for, she said this lady's name, and April. And she was like, okay. By the time Nancy was done with the prayer, for me, mostly probably, and the other lady sitting there, the lady I had been visiting with, softened, and her speech impediment got so good that we were able to really communicate quite well.
Amen.
And I think the punchline is, sometimes it's about just showing up. Amen.
Thank you, April. Praise the Lord. Who else?
Okay, I have a whole lot I'd love to say, but I'm going to try to keep it short. I'm a retired school teacher, and I thoroughly loved yesterday. I got to work with the children through Greg and Cindy, and their team was awesome. All of you that helped with everything. The food was awesome. He had fresh cut pork chops that were really thick. He had quarter chickens. Kudos goes to the mulching team that was over there pulling weeds. It was so
tell them
hot.
Where you were, BJ.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's we okay. were over at Summit Heights. We served over 50 children and adults. A lot more adults came through for the food. But the children loved the crafts. They were so excited to get the flower pots that the children painted and the flowers in them from this church. They were excited. He even had some flower pots that they colored that were plastic. They could put the other flower pots in. They were just so excited. He had crosses, everything that he gave out, little backpacks that had Jesus on everything, frisbees. Henry had to get the lady that was in charge of the Summit Heights recreational thing to go on their unlocked garden to get out two frisbees that the little children wanted back. They were so excited to get everything.
Amen.
So I just want to thank God for the opportunity to witness to the children. I asked a lot of the children if we had John 3:16 on a lot of stuff. He had coloring books. He had little everything. So the children, I said, "Do you know why we're doing this?" And they were like, "No," because they're used to people giving them things, you know. And I said, "Because Jesus loves us, so we wanted to show you that Jesus loves you too, and that He's there for you." So a little light bulb went on, and they were just so excited, you know. And we serve children from 3 years old all the way up through middle school and high school.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, baby.
God is good.
somebody else. God moved on your heart and life yesterday in some way. Right here, Pam.
So our group went to Fieldstone, it's an assisted living place, and they were having a devotional. We got there, we waited, and we went to our little room, and about six or seven came in and sat down, and they said, "We're here for the Bible trivia." Well, apparently, and you know, it was a different lady working yesterday. Anyway, we had not been put on the schedule, and they wanted Bible trivia. So I did speak up and say, "Well, let's do our job, or what we're going to do with them. We were going to help them write cards to military people or the homeless shelter, because we thought, you know, they might like to give back." And so we did the little cards, and we thought, well, if we find the Bible trivia game, we'll do that at the end. But so we all sat around a table, and you know, sometimes I personally thought, "Oh my gosh, I'm going to be emotional and meet these." When I meet these people, and they're going to be so needy and so helpless, and that wasn't the case at all. And they inspired me, and they blessed us maybe more than we did them. And we did tell them we were doing that. They asked what our shirt, you know, what it meant, and we told them where we were from. And one of the ladies says, "Oh, that's where the steakhouse used to be." Like, so we said, "Yeah," and you know, we were just here to. We wanted you to know that God loved you. And one of the ladies, listen, she came out. She was in her wheelchair. She had on a blue dress, had her hair done, her makeup on, her jewelry on. She was ready for Bible trivia. And she said, "You know, I just got here June 20th. And so we knew that it was hard for her. This was an adjustment. And we talked to them about the activities and the things they did, and they would relate to us. You know, what they enjoyed doing, and we reminisced and talk about the old days. And so I felt like, especially for the lady that had just gotten there, that hopefully through God we were a blessing to her and her adjustment into this life. But they were just some wonderful people, and you should have read some of the cards they wrote. Just unbelievable. The message they would send to the soldiers and the homeless shelter or, you know, the ministries that we were trying to send to. So I will share one more thing. One of the ladies that we were working with, and she was a little hard to understand, and Joni thought her name was Lusty, Miss Lusty. And I heard her say that, and I'm like, "I bet that's not right." So at the end, I was talking to this lady, and I wanted to say Miss, you know. So I leaned over, I said, "Now, what's her name?" So we asked her again if she could spell her name. It was Miss Rusty. So Joni had to get the card back and change, you know. So, she told us she got her name because she'd always been a redhead. That's how she got her name. She says, "But I need a little help nowadays." So we were probably blessed more than they were, and Amen. We definitely would like to go back and do this again with them.
Amen. Thank you, Pam. Anybody else? Somebody on this side of the room. Somebody over here. Somebody over here on the righteous right. Anybody?
I usually sit over there. So.
Okay.
We were on the mulch team. Right off the bat, I got the truck stuck. There was weeds to pull. But one thing that we talked about is that sometimes you think when you're a Christian, you got to stand in a strain all the time, and everything's a struggle and difficult. But we had a good time. We cut up. We laughed. You know, it was hard work, but we talked, and the time passed by pretty quick. And when you're doing it for the right, that's the thing is, if you do it, you know, if we were getting paid out there, we would complain about it all day. Because we were doing it for... Yeah, that's right. That's right. I heated my pork chop up later because if I ate it when I was that hot, it would not went well. But it's easy to do the God's work if you just do it. Mm-hmm. And it's not a struggle at all. And that's
Amen.
What.
Thank you, Jared. Who we got over here? Okay, David.
That it was fun to wash people's cars and that I know that they're happy, that they get to do it for free instead of paying any money. And I also remember one who wanted to pay money. And some were very nice to try and give us money, but then they wouldn't let them do that.
All right, got time for a couple more.
Okay, I was on the car wash team with David and Gregory, and I just want to say thank you to Kelly and Carol Walker and Melinda because they organized it all, and I just showed up to help with towels. That was not a good idea. But anyway, what we did find out was nobody wants their car washed before 10 o'clock, so we had to go solicit people to get their car washed. And the first man that came, as April said, we just needed to be available to listen to him. I don't think he really wanted his truck washed. He just wanted somebody to listen to him. And he was, like most of them, wanted to give us some money for the kids. And then when we said, oh, no, we're trying to teach the children how to serve, and they kind of got that. And they said, well, just put it in the offering plate. I said, oh, no, the pastor will get mad. We were told not to take money. So I just think for us, it helped the kids all see what it's like to work and serve other people that might need some help. And it was just absolutely amazing. But next year, I'm going to the nursing home.
It'll be this fall, not next year. We're going to try to do this 3, maybe 4 times a year. And we've got to get out where the people are and get the good news to folks through service and love and that kind of thing. Go ahead, sister.
Just a shout out real quick to the ladies that kept the kids here at the church.
Yes.
I had my rowdy little 4-year-old grandson who's still back there today, but they were just so sweet. He had such a good time. Terry Perry and all the ladies and the kids that were here. It was nice to have that, to have that option. And then I went and picked up my little rowdy JoJo at the last hour and brought him back with us, and we were over at Summit Heights. And just to see him play with those children that live there, and it did not make any difference what they were, where they were. They just got out, and they loved each other, and it was a good time for
him.
So thank you for that.
Amen.
I'd just like to say that yesterday was the 10th anniversary of my mother's death, so I was kind of hesitant about signing up to go because I didn't know how it would go, but I was blessed tremendously with going to the nursing home. When we got out of the car, the ambulance was there, and they were wheeling this lady out, and she was on oxygen, and she seemed nervous, and I just went over, and I said a prayer with her and told her I would continue to pray for her. And then when I got in, we were kind of disappointed because we didn't have any nails to do, as April was saying, but I reached out to a lady who I thought was probably 60, and she ended up being 102 years old, and she had a hearing problem, so we got kind of over to a table because I have a hearing problem too, and we talked, and she was amazing. She made my day. She was a Christian, and she's been in the nursing home there for quite a while. She said 2 different dates, but I'm not sure just which, but we held hands almost the whole 2 hours. I just kept massaging her hands and all, and she just told me all about, she was raised with 19 brothers and sisters, and they're all dead, and her mom, dad, but she has 3 amazing children, and she kept talking about how her kids come to visit her, and she was just an inspiration, but she just didn't want to turn her loose, you know.
Amen.
And I understand that touch is so important, and I was able to do that. So
thank you, Ethel. We haven't heard, go ahead, Beverly. We haven't heard from any of the lawn maintenance and yard folks. All right.
I was also blessed to be over at Summit Heights, and my granddaughter came to church with me on Wednesday night, and she kept begging me to go Saturday morning, and I kept telling her, this is not an opportunity to play, this is an opportunity to serve. And I was so proud that God blessed me so much yesterday with the service that my granddaughter did. She took water to the mulching crew. Anything that anybody asked her to do, she jumped to it. She was very, very, very serving yesterday, and it blessed my heart so much to let me know that God was letting me continue to teach my granddaughter that service is the most important thing. God will take care of you and will bless you and give you all of your needs if you will just give yourself to Him.
Amen. Thank you, Beverly. All right, we got time for one more. One more. One more. One more.
The lawn mowing team.
There we go.
I didn't actually mow any yards. I'll put that out there. But my dad, my brother, and my husband were given a yard to mow for the county, and we got out there. I was kind of disappointed. We didn't have the equipment to do what needed to be done. But my dad and mom had a neighbor that their yard hadn't been mowed in quite a while. So they showed up over there, unannounced, mowed this man's yard. He came out as they were finishing up and just loved all over him, thanked him. You know, said God bless. It hit, his mower had broken and it had gotten away to where he wasn't able to push mow it. So they really blessed that man, and he really needed it. So
I think we did how many yards yesterday? Five. And let me give you a quick testimony from our team, and let's no, okay. we were at 538 Rosewood Drive. That's one of our widowed ladies. Shirley Underwood, and she's still recovering from a stroke, and she had basically a half of a tree down in the backyard, and her hedge out on the side of the yard was about this tall, and it ran the length of the property. And so we went to work out there, and about the time when we were stacking up all the, you know, all the debris and all the wood and all of that out front, because the city will come by and pick that up. And while we were doing that, Shirley's neighbor across the street came over, and with tears in her eyes, she said, "I am so grateful that y'all came to help her." And she said, she's been needing this done. And she said, "I heard y'all were coming, but I thought y'all were coming about a month ago." And I said, "Well, God's kind of like that, you know. He's not early. How many of you found that out? But He's never late. He's always right on time." And so we were a blessing. We're going to do this, try to do this about every 4 months, every 3 months, three or four times a year. And so those of you that had to work or you were out of town or whatever, you'll have plenty of opportunity to get in on the next Second Mile Loves MoCo Day. But it was a fantastic day. And I wanted to give you all an opportunity to speak and to share. Because, brothers and sisters, if we can't get up and share in here, how in the world are we going to share out there? Right? So I just thank God for you all. And another thing that hasn't been mentioned, but when a church does something like what we did yesterday, it really brings unity to the body. Because we've all focused and we're pulling together in the same direction. And it was a fantastic day yesterday. Not for us, but for God's glory and honor. If you don't know this, we are raising up workers and servants here. Not for the glory of Second Mile Church, but for His glory. God's called us home to reach Clarksville, and that's what we're going to do by God's grace. And in order to do that, we're going to have to get our people out everywhere. And so I thank God for what He's doing here in these days. And some of you have some tremendous talents and abilities and skills and gifts. And who gave you all that? God did. And so let's use those for His glory. Amen. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians for about 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, and then we're going to sit down at the Lord's table. 1 Corinthians 11, and we've been up and down, so if you'll just honor God's word right where you sit, I'll read that for us. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' And in the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup,
you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And may God add the blessing, his blessing, to the reading and the teaching and the preaching of his word. The Lord Jesus left us two ordinances in the church, baptism and communion. And you could make a case for foot washing as well. But there's a reason that we celebrate the two. And the first one is that baptism is one in which we commemorate our death with him. And in communion, we demonstrate his death for us. Two different ordinances, but they both powerfully picture the gospel. And you know, Satan hates these two ordinances. He does not like them. And so he's done everything he can over the years to attack these ordinances that we celebrate. And so that's why today you have some churches that have added communion or the Lord's Supper as a sacrament or an element of salvation. And then you've got other churches, it's become so routine that it's almost like a funeral instead of a feast. And so this meal, this supper, this communion time was first instituted on the very night that Jesus was betrayed. The storm clouds were gathering, and I mean, the Passover lamb, the perfect Lamb of God, was about to be killed and shed his blood so that millions might be forgiven and be set free. Are you thankful for that today, church? And so by 3:00 the next afternoon, Jesus was dead. And this was his last night on earth before the crucifixion. And so the shadow of the cross is lying over this upper room experience. And the Lord paused to institute this tremendous ordinance of the church that we call the Lord's Supper. And so we celebrate the Lord's Supper for at least three reasons, several more maybe. But here's three that came to my mind this week. We sit down at the Lord's table in order to remember the Lord's person. When Jesus took that bread and blessed it and broke it and shared it with the disciples, there was enough simple truth in that act alone to fill up an entire book. How many times, think about this, had Jesus broken bread and blessed bread together with his disciples? I mean, it was such an ordinary, everyday, commonplace type thing that took place a lot. But now, you remember once before he'd even taken some bread and blessed it and broke it and fed thousands of people. You remember that? Y'all do remember that? But now he adds significance to this breaking and the blessing of the bread by adding, "This is my body." You see, symbolically what he's talking about there with his disciples is as he was breaking that bread, he was symbolizing what his body was about to go through, what he was about to do for them and for us. An extraordinary act of faith, wouldn't you say? His body would soon be beaten, bruised, bloodied, battered. He would be punched, slapped, crowned with thorns, scourged to the bone, his beard torn from his cheeks, hammered to a cross of wood, and every bone in his body would come loose or be wrenched out of joint. And yet, what did Jesus do? He gave thanks. He gave thanks. And as the disciples tore off each piece of that bread, little did they know the part that their sin played in that divine drama. This is my body. And so the bread that we're about to partake of is symbolically pointing to his memorial body broken for us. We remember his person. And then, of course, we're also to remember his blood that was shed for our sins. Not just for our sins, but the sins of the whole world. Is that not an amazing truth? The rivers of blood had been shed in the Old Testament. All of those Old Testament sacrifices. And yet they could not, all of those sacrificial animals and all of that blood that had been shed over the years could not cleanse a guilty conscience or completely wash away their sin. But hallelujah, it is through the sinless, spotless, sacrificial Lamb of God and His blood, that it is now possible that people can be made whole and be made right with God. Amen. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
We can be made right with God because of the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Think about that. Every single one of them. Every single sin you've ever committed, every single sin you will, stay with me right here. Every single sin, past, present, and future.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All of our sins have been forgiven and washed away, put away, never to be hurled back in our face again, never condemned again because of our sin. If you're in Christ, you've been set free from the penalty of sin.
Amen.
Glory to His name. And so we come to remember His person today. Thank God for grace. Amen?
Amen.
And then we also sit down at the Lord's table to remember His passion. The elements, the bread and the cup, take us directly to the cross, do they not? I mean, when we sit down and we remember His death, it just speaks volumes to us. And you know what? Over and over and over and over again, Jesus pointed His disciples to the cross. This was His passion. Nevertheless, He knew where He was headed. He knew where He was going. The cross was His passion. And you know, over and over again in the gospel accounts, He tried to tell His followers what He was here to do and where He was going. I must go to Jerusalem. I have to do what the Father has called me to do. And so all of our preaching today and all of our teaching and all of our singing and all of our giving ought to do what? It ought to point to His passion, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, how many of you have got a cross on today? Several of you. How many of you have ever been driving down Interstate 40 towards Crossville or Cookeville, and all of a sudden on the right-hand side of the interstate on a hill, there's this huge cross? Isn't that amazing? And every time you see the cross, every time I see it, I'm reminded that was the Lord's passion to pay for our sin, to set us free from the penalty and the power of sin. And one day, because of that cross, we're going to be set free from even the presence of sin. Amen? And then there's one final thing I want to say. There's a promise here. We sit down at the Lord's table symbolically today, not only to remember the Lord's person and the Lord's passion, but to remember the Lord's promise. Listen to this. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. I said, till He comes. I said, until He comes. He is coming again. That's the promise of Scripture. And one day, we're going to sit down, Dick, at that table, the marriage table, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and eat and drink this meal with Him. Whoo, I can't wait for that. That's going to be a great, great day. The Lord Jesus is no longer in a grave. He's no longer in a tomb. Where is He? He's at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, on the cross, He acquired our salvation. And in the tomb, He acquired our salvation. But today, He is maintaining our salvation with an intercessory prayer ministry. Friend, the only way you can get me lost is to keep Jesus from praying for me. And guess what? When you get born again, you won't interrupt the prayers of Jesus. Oh, that is good right there. If you'll just park on that truth for a little while, it'll eventually get you, and you'll even get halfway bad to Costal and shout. Glory to His name. And so, He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding on our behalf. From time to time, when old Satan shows up and starts lying about us and saying things about us, Jesus will raise those nail-pierced hands and say, "Oh, Father, he's one of mine. She's one of ours. All their sins are forgiven. Aren't you glad we have an advocate like Jesus?" And so one day, soon and very soon, the Father's going to look at the Son. And He's going to say, "Son, it's time. I have had enough. I want you to go get our people so that we can be face to face with one another." And about that time, Jesus will shout. I don't know what He's going to shout. Maybe come up here. Cal, it's time. And then the voice of the archangel. I don't know what the archangel's going to say either. Maybe he's just going to announce to old Slewfoot, well, your plan didn't work. Jesus is coming back. And then the father will look at that big, tall, bright angel Gabriel and tell him to blow on that trumpet. And Gabriel's going to toot and then we're going to scoot. He is coming again. And guess what? When he comes, he's bringing the spirits of our saved loved ones with him. And then graves all over this planet are going to open up and give forth the believing dead. And they're going to rise singing, oh death, where is thy sting? And then living believers who are still alive, when the Lord comes, we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we're going to rise to meet the Lord in the air. And we're going to go up singing, oh grave, where is your victory? And so we sit down and we remember that promise today at the Lord's table. He's coming again. Oh, friend, just a few more days to be filled with praise. And to tell the old, old story. And when twilight falls and the Savior calls, we'll go to Him in glory. Hallelujah. Now we're about to sit down at the table with the Lord. And verse 27 of that same chapter says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone's hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. We need to examine our hearts this morning before we sit down at the Lord's table. And if you've got unconfessed, unrepented sin, now's the time to get that right with Him. You don't want to sit down at the Lord and His table with His people with unconfessed, unrepented sin in your heart. Because if you do, you'll drink judgment upon yourself. You'll eat judgment upon yourself. You'll be guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.